Okay. So the aim of this session is to have a look at and carry on with the entity-specific disclosure work that hopefully most of you will remember we started on during the last face-to-face meeting. So I'm going to do a quick reminder of what we actually talked about in the last face-to-face meeting. That was in October. And then I'm going to run through some of the actions and comments that we've got that we picked up from all the information we got out of those workshops and some of the ideas we've started thinking about, and also talk about what exactly we propose to do next as part of that work, because people have already started to mention it's a reasonably important bit of work that people want to get done. So during the last meeting, what we did was we divided everybody into four groups, and I also divided entity-specific disclosures into different types of entity-specific disclosure. And so three of those groups had a look at new line items, so that's talking about entirely standalone items that are created by entities to describe as something that's very specific to them, but also items that are created as extra information in disaggregations from existing IFRS taxonomy items. Another group looked at line items that are created to provide combinations and subtotals. So those things you see as subtotals halfway down the roll-up or up the roll-up, depending on how you're looking at it. And another group talked about categories and category values, which is where we're talking more about things like the categories of property, plant and equipment, that kind of thing. A fourth group also looked at what we could do to help preparers, because we know that entity-specific extensions are all about the entities and all about the preparers, and they have to produce those items, and they have to report those items, and they have to decide what it is that's the most appropriate way to handle them when they're looking at them in electronic filing. Now, I'm not going to go through all of that in detail, because hopefully you have some memory of what we said, but what I have done is included the summary of discussions in the appendix. So if you're having any difficulty remembering what it was we discussed about any of those, then have a quick flick through to the appendix and have a look at the summary for each of the topics. So what we took away from that was we made some reasonably careful notes about what everybody said. And for each of the areas, we've looked at what kind of thing we might be able to do or what kind of work we might want to do to carry on investigating that sort of area. Now, for the area of the new line items, particularly the disaggregations, but also the new items, one of the things that came out of this discussion, but also some of the other discussions, was that it would probably be a good idea to improve taxonomy navigation. Because at least for some of the items we found in the examples, we did get comments back from people looking at those examples that were more along the lines of why has this item been disclosed, or why is this item being tagged as an extension when it could have been tagged with an IFRS taxonomy item. And that's very much not about trying to manage a mechanism for adding that into the taxonomy. That's about trying to manage how it is that preparers can find more appropriate items to tag that with, to navigate the taxonomy, and to be able to understand the tags present in the taxonomy. So again, that's looking at taxonomy navigation again. That we've had a number of suggestions for kinds of things that might help there, and that includes extra presentation link bases for different familiar views of the taxonomy, and also some others I'll go into in a bit when we get to the preparer group. Another thought on the actual taxonomy itself, this didn't come directly out of the discussions during the meeting, but is a thought that we had afterwards. And that is these very, very entity-specific items, especially the standalone items. I'm not sure, there's a theory that there should always be a relation to an IFRS taxonomy item. It should not be possible to put into an IFRS report a completely orphaned item that will have no relation to any IFRS taxonomy item. Because to me, that would indicate that there is something wrong with the model or the coverage of the IFRS taxonomy. Because if it's in IFRS reporting, even if it's too specific or entity detailed for us to be able to have specifically added it to the taxonomy, I think we should always be able to relate it to the taxonomy. I think there should always be some kind of documentable relationship a preparer could provide. So that at the moment, that is reasonably strictly a theory. So what we're going to need to do there is a bit of work to analyse the taxonomy and analyse some of these standalone items and work out if that is true or not, and see if we can find some things which genuinely would stand alone, or if that's not true, and also look for any areas where we say, actually, that shouldn't be standing alone, and maybe we can do something about the model of the taxonomy or the way it's covering that particular topic at the moment. So that's an interesting piece of analysis that I think we'll probably look at. Other things that we can do sort of relating to trying to improve the situation but not directly in the taxonomy itself, include doing some more detailed analysis of the kind of information that people are looking for between the new items and existing items. I know one of the theories that was proposed by a group that was that possibly just one relationship would do, but there wasn't necessarily very much specificity about what that relationship would be, and other discussions included the idea that actually the calculation relationship was important, but other relationships were important. So it would be very good to get a better idea of what relationship it is that the different users are very specifically after when they're trying to pick up and use a new item. Because when you ask people what is it they need to know, it actually starts to vary the longer the conversation goes on. Another thing there, of course, is the examination of syntax mechanisms in XBRL and also just in anything that's associated with an electronic filing and other filing reports for providing that kind of linking or grouping information to give items context. It's all very well saying we need to know this stuff about it, but we also need to look at how that fits into the way that electronic reporting works at the moment and how those mechanisms might work. A number of the reasonably obvious suggestions were made last meeting in October, including using specific link roles in link bases, using specific link bases, maybe providing those relationships via dimensional groupings or tuples, or existing mechanisms were in place for some of those things. But we probably need to do some kind of examination and look at in more detail how that might work and which ones of those actually would be the simplest and the best for most parties. And a final one here on new items is, again, documentation for preparers, because creating these entity-specific items, we're assuming they exist in the financial report for a reason. So what we need is some documentation to help preparers work out when those are taxonomy-specific items and when they're not. And obviously the disclosure initiative and other initiatives around IFRS use will be covering whether or not users should be putting them in their financial reports in the first place. So that's sort of the actions in that area. One of the other groups was looking, as I mentioned earlier, at combinations of subtotals. And some of the response to this was more interesting in that it was suggested that one of the possible things about combinations of subtotals is they're not actually extension items. So they are entity-produced combinations that of particular disclosures on the way up to an aggregation or on the way down to a disaggregation. But to some extent, they're made of known pieces of taxonomy information already. They may be made of known pieces of disaggregation that already exist. We just don't have that particular combination covered in the taxonomy. Now, there are a couple of things we thought we could do there. Now, the first one is kind of already covered in that many of the very common combinations are already included as part of common practice analysis, because obviously they are commonly used, they turn up in our analysis. Now, we're also aware that that's not really a practical way of handling the full diversity of all the possible subtotals that people produce when they put together a financial report, because fundamentally anything that can be combined because one thing is significantly more material than another, and it's much more sensible to put them both into a single reporting item, that's a reasonably varied. But at least for the time being, the really common ones should be covered by common practice. And that will at least make sure that those are not producing unnecessary items tagged outside the IFRS taxonomy for the time being. Ideally, what we want is a long-term action that reduces the requirement to have all of these combinations directly in the taxonomy. So we're looking at, we're talking here about mechanisms for allowing and grouping in items again. We're looking at linking, indicating that something is a combination of existing items, flagging items as certain types of total or combination. There's a lot of sort of theoretical work here that's not particularly in use at the moment that avoids having to tag it separately but indicates where it comes from and what it is it's related to. And in the long term, that's going to be a much better way of keeping the taxonomy neat and handling those items than necessarily adding them. And potentially as well, there's looking at how the taxonomy is modern structured, because that affects which disclosures are represented by the taxonomy. If it's a very literal list of precise descriptions of disclosures, including those combinations, then they have to be there explicitly and individually. If it's more about combining and stating which things you're involved in your combination or subtotal, then they don't have to be stated as explicitly, and the coverage is a little bit bigger. But that's very much a long-term consideration. And there's also minds together when we get to categories and category values. This was an attempt to sort of separate out the consideration of dimensional members. Now, obviously, that's a bit of an arbitrary separation out, but the aim was to look at the much larger groups of things that things are reported by or categorized by when people are looking at financial reporting, the usual example, of course, being the lists of things like property, plants and equipment. And some things that we've got to sort of take away from that are to do with mechanisms for handling in reporting, but also maybe things that we could add into the taxonomy. So this is looking at the use of generic category values or members for allowing things to be grouped, where at the moment we're using a kind of a named explicit dimension to do that, but it's not necessarily the explicit dimension that these things would naturally be grouped by. It's more of an accident that it happens to be the one that's causing the grouping. So that particular line might not have a natural idea of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 written down the side of it, but you might want an equivalent in the taxonomy so that people can identify these are the set of values reported in row 2, because none of those values themselves form a natural grouping. It's a slightly difficult concept to get to, but if you imagine that you've got, I think the law cases that turned up on one of the FASB dimension working calls recently were a good one, because you have names of plaintiffs, you have names of people taking part, you have amounts of money that are involved in the cost of the case, but of course there might be each plaintiff might have multiple cases associated with them. There's no natural single field that is the thing that identifies the case there. You might have to create the concept of a case name or ID, and that would be where you'd use some kind of generic group to say this is just a set of information about each of these cases. The other thought that we had here was that we have noticed in the past that we do have areas of accounting have very similar information in them. The standards are built standard by standard. Our taxonomy has been built standard by standard. At some point, it is probably worth us going back and looking at where we have created new groups and sets of things that share things in common and properties in common, and working out if we can't rationalize that a bit. It's basically going back and doing a bit of a tidy up of the dimensions and the axes and the members, so that where they could be shared, where they have stuff in common, we're not creating two or three different dimensions doing very similar things, because that can make it much harder for a preparer to identify which one of those they really want to use in their tagging. And it might make it a bit more difficult as well for a user to identify which one it is they need to do the analysis on, because there might be a combination of them being used. We put simplification there as the name for that, because some people here will be familiar with the fact that the FASB has simplification projects, and rationalising the way that members are produced and that kind of thing is kind of a way of sort of plumbing down, simplifying the taxonomy a bit. And again, this is where we come back to preparers' guides as well. And this all ties in very nicely with the thing that the final group looked at, which was what can we do to help preparers more directly. Now, as Rita's already said in earlier presentations, one of the things that we're doing at the moment is we're focusing on getting and helping the regulators get their systems set up. You know, we need to give people support to use the IFRS taxonomy, give them the documentation they need, and that kind of thing. And we very much hope that some of that will have an indirect effect on preparers. But it doesn't really. There are probably still some other things we can do to make life easier for preparers trying to use our taxonomy more directly. One of the things that we have discussed in this area in the past, and we'll probably bring up, I'd imagine, in the future ITCG call, because there's quite a bit of discussion to have in this area, is the idea that we have some kind of code-based navigation system. Quite a lot of people have used code-based navigation systems in their own internal databases. So we're talking about a set of a semantic code associated with e-types. So this is not the kind of meaningless code that was mentioned earlier for element names. This would be a meaningful code. It would have meaning. It wouldn't be used for the element name as a result, because that would be a very different use. But the aim would be to say something like 01, the first section told you whether it was an asset or a liability. The next section of code would tell you whether it sat, you know, in a different bit of the standard. It would be a navigation code. And I know there are quite a few people who, some preparers have come back to us and said that's how we navigate in real life. We go to the asset section, then we go to the intangible asset section, and that helps us find these things. And it gives people the flexibility to rearrange the taxonomy themselves by different aspects of this code as well, to create their own dynamic presentation, or we could then use the codes to do a very similar thing. There are questions here, though. There's an incredible amount of flexibility in setting up that kind of code system. We'd have to work out what would actually be helpful. And also the other question is that IFRS does not have this. The IFRS standards do not have a codification or a set of navigation codes. So we would have to go and have a discussion and say, is it appropriate that the taxonomy introduces codes for navigating the disclosures that would kind of not interact with any code system present in the IFRS standards themselves? So that's another question we'd have to try and look at and answer if we wanted to go in that direction. And again, that's all tying into this idea of investigating, providing other useful views on the taxonomy, whether they're via presentation link bases or they're via more dynamic documentation, that kind of thing. Other things that we can do outside the taxonomy, but obviously related to it, there's implementation guides. They've already been mentioned today. The FASB produces implementation guides. I believe we have a plan at some point to have a potentially joined up revenue recognition implementation guide, because it's one of the converged standards. So we are looking at whether or not as we can produce something along those lines in these areas. It's basically, you know, how to work with some of our disclosures, what happens when you try and tag them. It's more of a document rather than just the illustrative examples, and the aim is it would exist even if there wasn't an illustrative example to provide for a particular disclosure. The downside with these guides is that we have to try and remain implementation neutral while giving implementation advice, which, as you can imagine, potentially provides us with a bit of a challenge. But we think there are some basics of running through making decisions about which tags to use and how to navigate the taxonomy that we can probably provide that will be applicable to most filing systems. So we'll look at doing that. And then again, along those lines, we have guides specific, more general guides specifically on how to navigate the taxonomy and some ideas for thought processes for deciding which item to use. I know that there were FASB guidelines, or was the SEC guidelines, I lose track, I'm sorry, for how to go through which properties to take in which order when you're selecting an item, so that which ones have priority, and provide you with the most useful information to look through those and say, right, first look at this, then look at this, to use that as a kind of a deciding factor. And in theory, whilst we probably can't be that prescriptive, because again, we have to support different implementations, we probably can give a bit more guidance about what is useful, because for example, we already say that our element names are not intended to provide useful meaning for that purpose, so do look at the labels. And that's already, you know, going along that route. So in general, there are some reasonably coherent conclusions that came out of this. Many of the requirements and the solutions are related to regulatory or other filing rules. They're not directly related to the actual IFRS taxonomy structure. We were kind of expecting that, but it's nice to have had that come out of the discussion. This doesn't mean there is nothing we can do. It just means that we are slightly more limited in what we can do to sort of try and help move things around in that area. Some of the areas could potentially be supported with changes or additions to the current IFRS taxonomy. So we will look at those. And you'll have seen some things mentioned there to do with taxonomy navigation and maybe to do with providing mechanisms for other filing rules to then hang off, which could potentially happen within the IFRS taxonomy. Supporting regulators as they set up an update is essential. That has a very strong impact on what those filing rules then are, and what those, whether or not entity-specific disclosures are tagged or not tagged, whether the information is provided about them at all. It's very important that when we provide the IFRS taxonomy, we say, oh, by the way, you know, here's some useful information in that area so that people aren't having to go and investigate it again from scratch, because the whole concept of entity-specific disclosures is very much built into IFRS. We can't sort of sit back and say it's not our problem. And the final one, of course, is that providing assistance to preparers may help improve their filings, but of course, if we can be suitably neutral about it, we don't start to impact on the way people would like to run their systems. In theory, it should also indirectly help regulators, because they'll get a little bit of help there with the quality of the filings coming in. Now, that's quite a lot of stuff to look at. So we've got a set of proposed actions, stuff that we hope to be able to produce or look at over the next some period of time.
Yeah,
let's say a year. To start trying to work out some more useful things that we can do here. So taxonomy analysis, you'll have heard me mention that. We can look at taxonomy items relating to any specific items. We can look at the existing modelling of the categories as domains and also where they appear in line items. And we can look at those common combinations that should already be covered by common practice. We can also do some more solid investigation into these navigation schemes. We've been talking about things for a while, but we can actively now discuss and put forward some concrete ideas for whether or not the coding system would be consistent and useful. We'll open the discussion on that. And also try and work out the alternative presentation views I mentioned pretty often, which of those would actually be useful to produce. What would they look like? Another action here we've got is this whole concept of entity-specific disclosures, particularly handling them within XBRL, but what are they, what kind of things, the conclusions basically from the workshops about all the information that's needed. So some kind of investigation published in the paper probably, looking at how to use entity-specific disclosures, what properties they have in IFRS, what people are looking for when they want to process an IFRS entity-specific disclosure, and a bit of a discussion or a brainstorm or putting out there some of the ideas that we've seen come up during all these discussions for how to actually handle them physically in electronic filings. And just give people a bit of a boost so that they're not starting with ideas there from scratch. I mean, obviously, this is all within an IFRS context. And I know that XBRL International will be working on much more general documentation for extensions in XBRL and so on. But this will also include sort of various bits and pieces that are not necessarily XBRL specific. We've got additions to the new documentation for regulators. So we've already been working on that regulator's guide. That's going to be go out with the various launches from the Tokyo office in the first week of June. We've been doing, since we asked you for feedback on it, we've rearranged it a bit. We've taken into account some of that feedback. We've been adding in topics that seem to be missing, or we've been making note of those topics so they can be covered in some of the other forms of documentation we're planning. So that will be coming out, and some extra bits and pieces, not so much a full section yet, but we will be adding some things on entity-specific disclosures to that document, and then that will be filled in by some of the future work that we do more specifically on entity-specific disclosures in general. And then, of course, there's actually producing this new documentation for preparers, so hopefully at some point we'll have a revenue recognition implementation guide, and doing that along with the FASB should help us get started on that because they've done them before. And also helping with navigating the taxonomy and choosing appropriate items. Again, that's a more general piece of documentation that we can do without having to wait for a specific standard to get us started. So there was a reasonable amount of proposed work in there. We're going to have to do a bit of prioritisation and make sure we can try and get through as much of it. Now we've got some reasonable ideas for what kind of thing we actually want to do. So my questions to you are, do you see any other areas we could make improvements? Are there things that came up in the workshops that you heard that I didn't mention there, specifically ideas for things that we could change? And are there any, and now you've had some time, you've been away from that meeting, you've come back, you might have heard other things. Is there anything else you've got additional comments on entity-specific disclosures? Are there other people that we should talk to that's new work going on? Anything along those lines? So I hand that over to you. Somebody must have had an additional thought.
Hi. I have a... Lewis
and Luke. The implementation guides and the preparer's guides, I think, are great ideas, with the exception of what Marshall said before, that it's tough to write one that crosses regulators, and it's really... I think when you get into it, it's tougher than you think. And I think they're so key. But the example of a company shows accounts receivable on the balance sheet of 100, and then in the notes says the balance of receivables is 100, which is all trade receivables. Well, how do you tag that? You know, one regulator is going to say, tag it to the most narrow thing, which is accounts receivable trade for both those numbers. A different regulator is going to say, well, on the balance sheet, use the broader tag, accounts receivable, and then in the notes, use the more narrow one, accounts receivable trade. So how do you write an implementation guide for something like that? You know, here's how to tag those disclosures. I think that's a simple example, but it probably hit a lot of other ones. So I wish I had an answer to that, but because I think implementation guides are a great idea. They've worked well for the FASB in the U.S., but that's because their only customer is the SEC, and that works. So,
and that's tough.
Mm-hmm.
Lewis?
I have a different question, but I do want to comment on that. I think, I mean, the one thing with implementation guides, and we do this in part to stay out of trouble from a gap interpretation perspective, because we don't go there. So our guides are designed to very explicitly provide guidance interpreting our modeling choices so that preparers understand the modeling choices we've made and what was intended by those choices, as opposed to trying to help them interpret gap or apply gap. Now, that's not to say that they won't look at it and say, oh, here's my disclosure. That's always a risk. But my point to what Lou is saying is that I would hope that that would still translate internationally across different territories. If another territory intends to disclose the information in a different way, I'm not sure how that's going to play out. But when you do your modeling, you've got something in mind when you do it. And it seems to me the best you can do is just to articulate in the document what it, your intent was for that model and not go beyond that, which you really, really can't do, because then you're starting to play in the into the gap or IFRS space. The coding system, I'm not clear what that is exactly. Can you sing a tune or so on that one?
Yeah, well, it's slightly tricky to describe given that one of the actions that I had was define what kind of coding system might actually be useful. But for example, at a really high level, one of the systems, something that's mentioned quite reasonably frequently, is identifying, say, five basic categories of items within the taxonomy, like assets, liabilities, equity, income, and expenses. And that would be a really high level, just five code system for grouping all those items together. So you'd assign some kind of short semantic code for either, you know, something like the letter AS for assets or the code O1 for assets. And then you'd assign a code where possible to items in the taxonomy so that if somebody says, oh, I don't want to have to browse through by statement, I don't want to have to go through by this, I just want to grab all of the assets, I know the code for assets, I can just search for it. Hey presto. It doesn't require another presentation link base. It requires a bit of support from tools, but for example, it can be filtered on Excel, so it doesn't require very much support from tools. And in theory, beyond, you know, giving that top level, you could then in theory go on to say, have a separate set of codes that would tie on to the end for what type of asset or what type of liability if they were appropriate. So a bit like the kind of code structure you get in electronic data interchange text-based reporting where everything is turned down into codes which are then reinterpreted by the system when it loads it on the other end.
So you're effectively providing additional metadata that would make it easy to identify certain common concepts within the taxonomy.
It's kind of providing the metadata for people to do their own navigation rather than deciding in advance that that's going to be the most useful way to navigate and giving them a presentation link base that splits everything by assets, liability, equity, income, expense. It requires the user to do a bit more, but on the upside, they get to decide what it is they're doing.
The other item I wanted to comment on, and I forget exactly where you've got this in your recommendations, but it relates to the company-specific extensions and how those are identified on a go-forward basis. Do they get linked to a base element or what? As I've said before, I think that's potentially one of the most important activities that you could undertake. I look at our extension rates and different efforts that we've taken. I say ours, the US GAAP extension rates, and I look at the steps we've taken to try to mitigate that over the years, and it's a combination of adding additional elements to get the coverage. So we see, you know, 500 filers, 1,000 filers extending for a given concept, and so we add it into the taxonomy. But at some point, it's diminishing returns, and you can only do so much with that, and they keep making extensions. What has always been missing in that process is a mechanism, and this is speaking to what you were talking about earlier, is a mechanism that tells the filer how to create that extension in a manner that allows the user to understand what it relates to in the totality of the filing. As it stands now, so many of those extensions are just orphaned, and no one, someone on the consumption side doesn't know what to do with it. They invariably have to go research it. And so if we had a mechanism in place, there would be two really powerful benefits. One benefit is that the user would now have an easier idea, an easier mechanism to figure out what that thing is, and we frankly wouldn't have to be as concerned about extensions, because the linkage answers a lot of the questions that we worry about with the extensions being in the taxonomy in the first place. I think it's a really important project. It's important for us, and I think it's important for you.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, we've got some difficulties in that whatever we produce is kind of, we can't necessarily say, and this is the one mechanism that will work for every single implementation of the IFRS taxonomy across the world, because those implementations are quite varied. But I think we are happy to look into simpler mechanisms overall, and you know, we've got a group of people who have made some very good suggestions. We're happy to try and compile that and say, in our opinion, some of these would actually work quite well within the scope of IFRS filing if you're filing annual statements. So it's very much not this is the only filing mechanism in the world to use, because we don't know what the actual project's going to be doing. But on the other hand, we can sit there and say, look, these are some of the ones that we think actually might be very helpful if you're trying to put together something that needs these extra IFRS entity-specific items and you need them to be accessible somehow. And obviously we're not linking that accessible to necessarily just literal tagged extensions, but also we should look at the other ways of making them accessible, because we need to cover this whole, the user gets all the information they need, and the preparer doesn't have to do too much boundary grade of changes as well. If we can pick out some useful options, then that gives people something to look at when they're, or to consider and maybe adapt when they're looking at their filing systems.
We have one from Dublin.
Taking off from what Lou was saying about the implementation guide for regulators, I think a one-shoe-fit-all size is not going to be that easy, because the regulators also come in different shapes and sizes across the geographies. You have the business registries, you have the stock exchanges, you have the tax regulators, and they have their own information categories to be added. We have seen auditors, reports, exchange requirements. So how do they add to the base taxonomy? Are we going to provide guidance towards that? Some of them have added type dimensions to take care of the category and category value issues. So are we going to give some guidance towards that? Or is it just going to be confined to the IFRS reporting elements and the disclosures, the extensions on top of that? So I would think that this needs to be examined as well going forward.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, I mean, we have to decide what kind of scope it is practical for us to cover. So, I mean, one of the things that we will need to look at is what is used out there and what kind of thing it is possible for us to mention and what kind of thing we just can't, because there's no way we can do something generic enough without it treading on somebody's regulatory filing rules and completely contradicting them, which we really do not want to do, because that just creates confusion. So we'll be looking at all those things, but we have yet to decide what kind of thing we can. As Lewis says, one of the reasons we're working with them on one of their first guides is describing the modelling from that sort of implementation perspective is something that's quite easy for us to do generically. And the difficulty comes in with some of these more specific guides about looking through our taxonomy and choosing things. And that's where we'll have to go very carefully and describe how to navigate, but maybe not how that then results in a specific type of dimension in something, for example.
Any others before we take us into the coverage for the breakout?
Yeah.
Unless there's anything else on the table.